This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Title of my sermon is Keep Pressing In to God. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, keep pressing in. I love that. So I love it in Philippians 3, verse 12 and 14. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says, not that I have already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice he calls it an upward call. Amen? Because we're supposed to be moving upward and onward. Amen. So Paul is saying some sobering words in this text. First, Paul was one of the greatest apostles ever raised up by the Lord. He raised up many Christian churches and received many visions from the Lord. And he wrote inspirational letters that are in the Bible today. And the Apostle Paul in his day was a mover and a shaker. And you say, what does that mean? He was getting some things done. How many movers and shakers we have in the house today? Amen. How many people would like to move in that category? In other words, you're a person that gets things done. You know, we had some snow days last week. And in the snow day, I kind of relaxed and I didn't do anything that day. I just kind of was, I was just on lazy mode. Anybody ever get in that lazy mode? I didn't hit the gym. I didn't do anything. And you know what? I was the most unproductive. I don't even think I really prayed that much. I just didn't do anything. And I realized I was not a happier person not doing anything. And I realized that I needed to do something and get moving and start being productive. And I'm telling you, we're much more happier when we're in a process of doing things for God. You're not a happy person when you stay home from church, and not go to church and you take a day off. We don't take days off in Jesus. Amen. And so Paul had a spiritual truth that he was conveying in the passage, and that we need to keep moving forward in God. And so even though he had lots of success, even though God revealed things, he raised up churches, Paul said that he hadn't arrived yet. And there's not going to ever be a time where we arrive until we get to heaven. And then even when we get to heaven, God may have us do some things. Amen. It might not be angels feeding us grapes on a bed of fluffy, a cloud of ease. Amen. We might have a job in heaven to do. In other words, God's going to have purpose even in heaven. Do you believe that today? Say, God has purpose for me. And so we need to keep moving in the plans and the purposes of God for our lives. Don't let the devil deceive you. You've gotten some place in God. You got some prayers answered. And now you don't have to do anything else. No, you got to keep pressing in. Look at your neighbor and say, keep pressing in. I'm trying to get you guys to preach this morning. Amen. So I love again. Let's look at Philippians. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying we can't live this life just reminiscing about our past. Amen. Our past victories or lamenting about our past defeats. There's two things we tend to do. We celebrate our past victories, but we lament in our past defeats. Amen? In other words, mistakes that we made in the past. So if you're dwelling on either one, it will cause you not to move forward in God. So you can't keep looking backwards and move forward in God. You can't keep looking at the rearview mirror and move forward. You will end up in a ditch. So many of you had a great fast, breakthroughs, may have accomplished some things, but there's more. Somebody say there's more. See, I'm going to say this, that it doesn't matter how spiritual you are and how fired you up for God today, you could be backslidden tomorrow. I'm going to say that again. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. What matters is where you're going to be at tomorrow. Because right now you could be fired up, or right now you could be lukewarm. You could be half backslidden, but you can move forward in God. And I'm going to say you're going to have to keep moving forward no matter what the victories that you may have accomplished in your life. You see, King David was a very successful king. God blessed him once he obtained his throne, and he won many victories. And it seemed like David always was having victories over the enemy. And then God placed him on the throne, and he was established as the king of Israel. And so David had victories and accomplishments, but he got complacent one time in his life. And when he got complacent, that's when the devil started working on his life. When you start sitting back and looking at all the great things that God has done for you, and you start sitting back and you stop pressing in, it will keep, you know, the blessing from coming in a greater measure in your life. In 2 Samuel 11:1, it says it this way: "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when the kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all of Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David remained in Jerusalem." Now, I don't want you to miss this. It says it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle. Underline that. When kings go out to battle. But what did David do? He sent somebody else in his place and he stayed home. I'm going to say this. You got to understand this, that we are in a battle. We are in a fight. The devil is not playing games. And the devil is trying to take some of us out. And I'm not talking about taking us out for dinner. He's trying to eat our lunch. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? That's what I mean by the devil wants to take us out. He wants to eat our lunch and pop our bag. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so we are in a fight. So don't ever forget that. And sometimes we forget that we are in spiritual battle. And you got to be putting your armor on every day. And that armor is always for the front. And God watches your back. And we never back up in God. We always forge forward in God. I'm telling you, that's what we do. We always move forward in God. Somebody say, "I'm moving forward."
I'm moving forward.
So we see here King David was supposed to go out with his army, but he delegated his job to leading the troops to somebody else, and he stayed home. Now, the devil, you know, I really believe moved on David to be relaxed and to just to rest on his laurels. And, you know, when you get relaxed and you're not engaged in pressing into the things of God and pressing in to your dreams and your vision, boredom comes in. And when boredom comes in, the devil comes in. And he's going to try to get you to shake it up. Amen? And you don't have time to be bored. You got to stay busy in God. Look at your neighbor and say, "Stay busy in God." And so boredom came in, and let's read the rest of this account, and it's in Samuel. And my thought on this, what I'm going to read, is very sobering. But my thought on this account is, are you ready for this? When you back up in when you back up, the devil sets you up. So when you back up, the devil sets you up. I'm going to say it again. When you back up in God, when you quit reading your word, when you quit praying, when you stop witnessing to others, when you back up, get ready for the setup. So the devil wants to set some of us up for a fall. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And this was a perfect setup because David wasn't engaged in battle anymore. He wasn't with his troops. He stayed home. Amen. And then this it says, and then the next verse in verse 2 through 5 said, then it happened. Underline, then it happened. In other words, the devil works in suddenlies. And the devil wants to hit you over the head with something and you're not even aware of, or tempt you when you're not even thinking about it. And then it says, then it happened when evening that day arose from his, that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And that woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers, took her, and she came to him. And he laid with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity. And she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, I am with child. Now, you know, David, I don't think he was intending for her to get pregnant. He was just looking to have a little bit of fun. He was looking to have a little bit of enjoyment. In the name of fun, what the seed you sow today will be the harvest you reap tomorrow. And David sowed a seed that he wasn't expecting a harvest to come through. So bad seed that you sow, bad harvest comes. Good seed that you sow, good harvest comes. So David wasn't expecting that. And so David got, in his position of king, he got prideful. He got arrogant. He started thinking the rules doesn't matter to him. See, sometimes when we have victories in God, we think we have such a relationship with God, we don't have to follow the rules anymore. Sometimes we take God for granted. Now, I know none of you have never taken God for granted in here. I know none of you have never taken the grace of God for granted, but David took the grace of God for granted. He thought that he was untouchable because he was the king. But he broke a lot of the Ten Commandments. David knew what he was doing was wrong, but he saw himself as, well, I'm untouchable. And you're never untouchable when you're walking in sin. Whenever you're walking in sin, there's a payment that's going to be paid out for sin, and that's called judgment. And David got judged for that act. That baby of Bathsheba died. That was a judgment call. And also, another judgment that God placed on his life was there was going to be bloodshed in his household. And David had bloodshed in his household. But God was gracious. Somebody say, God's gracious. And God allowed David to keep his throne. God is gracious, even though we can make mistakes, even though we can make the wrong moves, even though that we do the wrong things, God is still gracious. He still can judge. There still can be some things that will happen when we do the wrong things, but God is still gracious. Why? Because David turned to God in repentance. He moved from pride back to humility, and he repented before God. And God saw his tears, saw his heart, and God moved with compassion and allowed David to keep his throne. Powerful. So we serve a God of mercy. We serve a God of blessing. So I'm talking about pressing in to more of God today. I want to give you some keys to press in. And the first key of pressing into God is to stay humble in God, no matter how much blessing you're walking in or how much defeat you're walking in. Stay humble. Amen. Because sometimes we get arrogant when things are happening. We start getting too big. You ever heard this expression, too big for your britches? Have you ever heard of that? Oh, they're getting too big for their britches. In other words, they think they're holier than thou. Have you ever heard that one? And they, in other words, people are getting too big. David got too big for his britches, and he thought he was untouchable. But I'm telling you, when you do the wrong things, if you don't repent, judgment is at your doorstep. So humility is the key to walking under an open heaven in God. Humility draws us closer to God. Pride pushes us away from God's grace in our lives. I'm going to say that again. Humility is the key that brings us closer to God. It's saying, God, you know, you are in charge. You are enlarged in my life. My life is nothing without you. We need to have an attitude about that towards God. God, I have nothing. I can do nothing without you. I am nothing without you. You are everything to me. We got to have that attitude. Somebody say, God is everything to me. Amen. Somebody say, more of God. Amen. And so I love that. So when in James 4:6, because humility draws us closer, pride pushes away. And in James 4:6, it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. Notice this. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. You know, I had a little breakthrough this week. And I bought Yin a Apple Watch. I think it was for her birthday. Oh, it's Christmas. Okay, thank you for helping me. And her birth and Christmas are pretty close together. And I bought her an Apple Watch. And the Apple Watch, it wasn't the watch that you can connect and have it where you can answer it. It has to be connected to your phone. So it didn't have that ability to do that. And I thought, when I talked to the guy, I said, I want the best watch you got, the most advanced watch, and he didn't give it to me. He gave me the half advanced watch. It was the one that didn't have cellular capability. That means that you can get a phone number attached to it. And you don't have to have your regular phone to attach to it to answer calls. Anybody have an Apple Watch in here? Does anybody answer your phone with your Apple Watch? We got some hands raised. Amen. I got her that watch because I could never get in contact with her. So I said, I'm going to get you an Apple Watch so I can track you down. Amen. So that watch was a gift from Pastor. Amen. And so I got it out. And, you know, we had that watch for almost 30 days. And then we were trying to figure out, why is it not working? Why is it not cellular work? And my wife read the box and said, because it's not a cellular watch, dummy. No, she didn't say that, but... It's not a cellular watch. It's one of the lame watch. You bought a lame watch. I said, my Lord Jesus. I said, let's pray. I said, I know we cannot return this because you can only return electronics in 15 days at Best Buy. But let's pray. Maybe there could be a miracle because we're just going to have to throw this watch away. I spent $400 on this watch, you know, $350. And I'm thinking, my Lord Jesus. So I went. And I prayed and I humbled myself. Can somebody say, humble yourself? And I even humbled myself before the guy, before the Geek Squad guy. Anybody ever been to Best Buy? They got the Geek Squad people there. And I said, look, I bought this watch. They said it had all the bells and whistles, but it's missing some bells and whistles on it. And he said, we can work it out. And he showed me how to work it out. And I was able to exchange that watch for a new watch. Can somebody say breakthrough? Breakthrough. Amen. And she got that new watch. Glory to God. Now I can connect with her. Amen. So what am I saying? But I stayed humbled when I was talking to the guy. And I was half thinking, well, if it doesn't go through, it doesn't go through. But I was so meek. The guy was so benevolent in his attitude. He said, we can work this out and all this. And that's God working on our behalf. When we humble ourselves before God, God will work on your behalf. Do you believe that today? I'd love that. God will move on people and influence people to show you love. That's powerful. That's powerful. And I love that. And so we must stay humble before God to see His grace in our lives. Pride is a self-will attitude that says you know better than God. I'm going to say that again. Pride is a self-will attitude that says I know better than God. And so let's look at this verse because pride can be very destructive. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So this is key. This is what happened to David. He was in pride thinking he was untouchable, but that pride caused him to fall into sin. And so we got to be very careful because we're always dealing with the idea of self-exaltation as raising ourselves up. It's only God can raise you up. So pride is a self-will attitude that says, I know better than God. In other words, pride says your opinion of your circumstances that you're facing weighs heavier than God's word about your situation. This is powerful what I'm saying today. Pride says my opinion about what I'm dealing with in my life weighs heavier than what God's word says about my life. In other words, if your opinion is my life is not too good, my life is terrible, but God says I have blessed you, but you're saying I am cursed, then you're allowing your opinion to be greater than what God's word is saying. The word of God says you're blessed. Not, you know, the Bible says what God has blessed, no man can curse. Only you can curse yourself. How do you curse yourself? By lamenting about your life, by feeling sorry about yourself, by looking at what you don't have. No, you got to look at what you do have in God. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So we must always respond to God in a heart of humility and meekness if we're going to keep the breakthrough and see greater breakthroughs in our lives. I'm going to say that again. We must learn to respond to God in a heart of humility and meekness in every circumstance and every situation that we deal with in this life. I love that. And I love this scripture because this is a powerful scripture. But when we're going through a trial in our life, most of us hate this scripture. I'm going to read it to you. It's Romans 8:28. When you're going through a trial in your life, you don't want to read this scripture. And it says, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Oh my gosh, is this thing that I'm going through working good in my life? It can't be working good in my life. It can if we respond in the right way. If you respond in the wrong way, it can work evil in your life. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. Because how you respond to what you encounter will depend on what you receive at the end. I don't think I can repeat that. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? How we respond and what we encounter what will depend on what we receive in the end. And I want to receive good from God, not bad from the devil. And he says here, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and called according to His purpose. The passage is powerful. No matter what we're going through in this life, God is working it out for good. There is a clarification clause in this scripture for God to work out good. And the clarification clause in this scripture is predicated on if we love God. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. See, it's good works out for those that love God. What about those that don't love God? What about those that are hating on God? What about those that are angry with God? What about those that are bitter towards the things of God? Well, I don't know if good is going to work out in your life. But I'm not going to hate on God. I'm not going to curse God and die. I'm going to be excited about God. And I know that whatever I'm going through, warriors are made in deserts. And you might be going through a desert in your life, but God's preparing you for the promised land. I'm telling you, we are always going to go through the valley of the shadow of death before we enter into the good, plenteous land of green grass and still waters. There's going to be a process for us to go to get the promise. Don't think it's going to come easy. Don't think this life is going to be easy. You know, Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble, but be full of fear. No, he says, be of good cheer. Why? Because Jesus has overcome this world, and you can overcome this world because Jesus is praying for you that your faith will not fail. Remember Peter? He denied Jesus 3 times. Remember Peter? And he denied, but Jesus came back to him. And then Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Remember that? He says, do you love me? Do you love me? He asked him 3 times. Why? Because when we get rooted and grounded in God's love for us, it doesn't matter what the devil's doing, what he's throwing at us, because we'll be firm and planted in the love of God. And it doesn't matter if the devil's throwing everything at us and the kitchen sink. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Why? Because you're rooted and grounded in God's love. Amen? I love that. The second key, the first key, is that we need to stay humble before God. The second key is we need to stay healthy before God. Stay healthy before God. If we are going to keep pressing into the grace of God, we must stay healthy before God. What I mean by staying healthy in God, we must maintain a healthy attitude towards God and others. That's okay. I'm going somewhere this morning. We must maintain a healthy attitude. In other words, some Christians are sick in their souls. I'm not talking about body sickness. I'm talking about soul sickness. In other words, their mind, their will, and their emotions are their soul. And they're sick in their souls. Amen? And it will create physical problems. How can you be sick in your soul? If you're hating on God and hating on people, it can cause your soul to be sick. Can I get a witness in the house today? What is the greatest commandment Jesus said? First and foremost, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say hate God and hate your neighbor. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, Pastor. That's what I'm living by. No, you can't be living by an eye and eye. They took my eye, I'm taking two of theirs. You can't be like that. No, you pray for those who despitefully lose you. It's not like you're not Clint Eastwood. I don't get mad, I get even. You're not giving even. You're not evening up the score. God evens the score up. The Bible says, vengeance is the Lord's. So what do? You pray for them and you feed your enemies. Of course, my wife says, but what if they're not hungry? But listen, you feed your enemies. Amen. I love that. I love this. Now let's focus on Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Following up on this thought that we need to stay healthy in soul health, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. This is powerful. Don't lose what I'm saying here. He's saying pursue peace. Notice this. Talking about loving God and loving people. Pursue peace with all people. Notice that. Not strife, but peace with all people and holiness. That means that you're set apart for God. that you're holy, set apart for God, that you're loving God, without which no one will see the Lord or see their blessings in their lives, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Notice this. It says that you can fall short of the grace of God. How do you fall short for the grace of God? Get out of peace with people and get out of holiness with God. Amen? In other words, you get more worldly instead of holy. And I'm going to say this, worldliness and holiness is always fighting with each other. And we need to stay holy and not worldly. Amen? Amen. And I love that, but it says here, lest any root of bitterness springing up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. So what is he saying here? He's saying that we're not pursuing peace with people. We have animosity. We have anger towards people. We have animosity towards God because we're going through some issues. Then it says a root of bitterness comes in. That means that we start hating on God, hating on people. And it says it will defile many. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so we got to come out of that bitterness. We got to come out of that anger. We got to come into peace and holiness. And when we make peace with God and peace with people and we get set apart for God's use, start obeying God, it keeps our soul healthy and our bodies will become healthy in the result of that. Because some people are sick because they have soul sickness and their soul sickness gives them physical sickness. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. I love what it says in 3 John 1 and 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. This is a great verse. Talk about being prosperous and being healthy. This verse was inspired by the Holy Spirit for John to write. And John wrote this saying, Above all other things, I wish above that you be wealthy and healthy. And God inspired him. So what does that mean? God wants us to be wealthy and he wants us to be healthy above all other things. So wealth is not bad. Having financial blessings is not bad. It's just loving those things more than God. That's where it gets bad. In other words, we love God. We don't love things. We love people. We don't use people. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So God wants us wealthy and healthy. And the clarification of this passage about that God wants us healthy and wealthy, it says that as your soul prospers. So you have to have soul prosperity, amen? And your soul is your mind. In other words, how you think about things will determine what you receive from God. And we need to start thinking right and not thinking wrong, amen? You can't think wrong about people, wrong about God. You got to have good thoughts towards people, good thoughts towards God. And I'm going to another level. Can I go another level today? You got to have good thoughts about yourself. Oh my gosh, that's hot off the wire. You can't be looking at yourself, oh, how bad you are, how terrible you are in this area. Don't focus on the things that you can't that you have a hard time changing. Focus on every good thing that God has implanted in you. I love this. Don't focus on what you're missing. Focus on what God has done for you. I like what it says in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, talking about the peace of God. It says, talking about soul prosperity. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. In other words, don't focus on the negative things, not even the negative things in this world. Start focusing on the good things that God has done and that God is doing. Yes. Amen. And he said, those things which you have both learned and received, amen, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. See, listen, in soul sickness, that person that's sick in their soul doesn't have any peace in their life. Amen. And so if you are sick in your soul, you're dealing with fear, doubt, and unbelief, and you have no peace. And soul prosperity is peace in your life. And I'm going to do everything I can to stay in the peace of God. Amen. I'm not going to go on the wild side. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You know what I'm talking about. Go on the wild side. I'm not going to take a sabbatical from God. I'm going to stay in it to win it. Can I get a witness in the house today? So we have to be pressing in and pressing in and start thinking the right thoughts. We must press into humility. We must press into being healthy. And we must press into a heavenly vision of what God's believing, what we're believing God to do in our lives. You must keep the vision before you at all times. In other words, vision will create discipline in your life. And when you have vision in your life, a heavenly vision, that heavenly vision will bring the promises of God in your life. Heavenly visions are produced by the Word of God. I'm going to say it again. Heavenly vision, God will give you a word. One word from God can change your entire existence. And when you get a promise from God, and that promise will create a vision, and that vision will cause you to move in a trajectory that will cause you to move higher in your life. Do you believe that today? Amen. And so it's you got to get the Word of God. The word that I said, God wants above all else for you to prosper and be in health. That should be a vision that you should be standing on. God wants me to prosper, and God wants me to be in health. That should be a scripture that you should have on your refrigerator door. Hallelujah. And I love that. So get a vision, and the Word of God will give you vision. I like what it says in Proverbs 4:20 and 24. It says, talking about the Word giving you vision, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. You have to guard your heart from all the crud that's in this world. You have to keep your eyes on the Word of God. See, as long as Peter was a water walker one day, and when he saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter said, "If that's you, Jesus, bid me to come out of the water." And Peter came out of that water. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he stayed on top of the water. But the problem was he took his eyes off Jesus. When you take your eyes off the Word, that's when you're going to start sinking in your life. And that's why you got to keep your eyes on the Word of God. And my fourth key, and I'm closing this out, is that, the first key, maintain humility, stay healthy, receive a heavenly vision. And number four, stay hungry for God. And I'm going to say this, you got to stay hungry for God. Don't ever get too satisfied with your lot in life. Don't ever get too satisfied in God. Always keep pressing into the things of God. In Psalms 42:1-5, it says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been food day and night. Why, they continually say to me, where is your God?" This is a person, the psalmist, is going through a struggle in his life. And he's going through a struggle, and people are saying, "How come you got so much struggle? It doesn't look like God is in your life." But he says, continue to seek God. Why, it doesn't look like God is in your life. Amen? And so when you keep seeking God, it says here, "My soul, why are you disquiet within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." So I'm going to say this, that we keep seeking God even when things don't look right, even when we're encountering problems. We seek God, and then God will give us His Word. His Word will produce vision. Vision is our hope. Our hope is an earnest expectation of good to come. When we're walking in hope, our faith is working at its max, and we will see good things in the present and in the future as we keep standing on God's Word. Somebody say, I'm pressing into the things of God. I'm not letting go. I'm letting God be God in my life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness today. And I thank You, Father God, that You're helping us to press in like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul realized he had not arrived, even though he did great things in the kingdom of God. And I thank You, Lord God, reveal to us that we never arrive until we get to heaven. And even then, You will have great things for us to do. Father, I'm asking, Lord God, that You will reveal Your love to each person today. Reveal that You have purpose for them. And perhaps you're listening today or watching and you don't know really where you're at in God. You don't know where you'd spend eternity if you died today. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation and that you can choose God today. You can choose Jesus. So if you're ready to flip the script in your life, if you're ready to move forward in God and you need to confess the Lordship of Him in your life, just say this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive You, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with Your love, peace, and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.